three S's for super communions. Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox, and welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips, episode 123. And today we're talking about how to keep our communion talks special. Yes, we do a lot of them, 52 every year for me. In fact, more than that, because I go to two church services most Sundays. But there are a lot of them. But how do we make sure they don't get dull, even though they are repetitive? I believe that we can keep them fresh. So we're going to talk about that today. And this is very important because the communion has a special part in our communal life as a church. Jesus instituted things in Luke chapter 22, for example, and Paul shows us in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 that it was a normal part of church life that our early brothers and sisters took communion regularly together. So we just want to do that and do it in an effective way. Now, I'm going to be talking about this from the perspective of the way that we do it in my fellowship of churches. So if you do it a bit differently in your traditions, that's totally fine, but I hope there'll be something here, and I think there will be, for anyone who regularly takes or leads people in the taking of the Lord's Supper. And this applies to those of us who are experienced speakers, and I believe those of us who are relatively fresh on the scene. So what am I talking about here? I'm talking about the fact that we're doing an extemporary talk, one that's not got a lot of liturgy or set prayers or anything like that, but it's an extemporary talk, and I'm talking here about the average communion in our fellowships, not the special occasions. Finally, as before we get into the material, we're not talking here about rules, but guidelines. Guidelines and principles and practicals against which to measure your own practices and your own effectiveness. Two sections and then a conclusion. The first section I want to talk about presentation, and the second I want to talk about our focus. Under presentation, I would suggest this. These are my suggestions. Tell me what you think. Firstly, make it short. Make it short. We're doing 52 of these a year. If we talk about everything we think about the communion in a 10 or 15, 20-minute presentation, then we've got nothing left for next time. So we're hearing the same topic every Sunday when we're talking about communion. Sermons vary considerably in their focus, but the communion tends to be very much narrowly focused on the cross, on Jesus, on salvation, on the Last Supper and so on, the bread and the wine. So I would say keep them short. How short is short? I don't know. But let's say 5 to 10 minutes. I tell most people, aim for 5 and you'll probably do 7 minutes. And that's about right. Short. Scriptures. How many scriptures? One, please. Just one. One, not two or three. You're jumping all over the place in 5 minutes. It's too much. I can't take it all in. So I would say, generally speaking, one scripture. And to go with that, 1 point. Again, we're going to hear a lot of these, and you'll have a chance to bring in your second or third point another time. So just give me 1 point, and I think that'll do me. 1 point, one scripture, fairly short. And question sometimes people ask is, what about stories? Should we include a story? Personal story, a story you've heard about somebody? Stories are fantastic. Just make sure that it's not so emotionally overwhelming as to leave me thinking about the story rather than about Jesus. So emotionally engaging stories, wonderful. Emotionally overwhelming stories, not so much. And finally, on the presentation front, please try our best to avoid jargon. In other words, rather than the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, let's talk about this final meal that Jesus had with his friends. Or, instead of, we have now come to the time in the service when, which has sent most of us to sleep already, instead, an opening phrase that will get our attention. Something like, for example, Jesus had beautiful hands. Want to know why? And then we go on and talk about the hands of Jesus washing the disciples' feet in John 13, or and then appearing on the, you know, being having the nails put through them on the cross or something like that. So, but a first phrase that engages rather than something that sets us off to sleep. So that's presentation. Short, one scripture, 1 point. Stories are good. Just be careful and avoid the jargon. Now, the focus. What should the focus of the communion talk be? Again, the average, normal, weekly communion. Well, two things to talk about here. First of all, we need to take note of what Jesus did and said himself. Luke chapter 22 is a good example of the Last Supper, as he has that final meal with his friends, and he talks about what he's doing, and he describes him taking the cup, taking the bread, breaking it, describing it as the body given for you. This, do this, he says in verse 19, in remembrance of me. And then in 1 Corinthians 11, we have Paul telling us more things about the significance of the Lord's Supper and that we should take it worthily, otherwise we may become weak and fall asleep. So We know, reviewing those scriptures, amongst others, that the communion is very important. And we get some clues as to the focus. So let me give you some thoughts about the focus of our communion talks. Firstly, the clear focus, the number one focus, is obviously Jesus. He said to do this in remembrance of him. In which case, we really need to make sure that what we're talking about is mostly about Jesus. Now, the question may come, well, is it okay to use Old Testament scriptures? Absolutely it is. There's loads of excellent material there. There's the sacrifices they offered. There's the prophecies about Jesus in Isaiah and other places. There's excellent material in the Old Testament to illustrate a point that will help us to remember Jesus, but it then must lead back to Jesus and point to Jesus, as indeed the Old Testament basically does point to him. So make sure that Jesus is the number one focus of your communion. The number one focus is him, not you, not me, not some other thing, but Jesus. That's the first thing. Secondly, what else are we doing in the communion? It's interesting that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11 that we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes by eating the bread and drinking the cup. That's verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 11. Proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. So we're doing something when we take communion to proclaim his death, and it's looking forward to the day that he comes. So what are we doing? We're proclaiming, I would say, victory over death. What a positive message. In other words, this is good news. The resurrection is following the cross, and there's something positive coming. Yes, in fact, Jesus is coming back to take us to be with him and to fully inaugurate the kingdom that he has begun to inaugurate already, and we're part of that. How wonderful. So we're proclaiming his death, his victory over death. What good news. So firstly, the focus is Jesus. Secondly, we're proclaiming his victory over death, and we're looking forward, not backward. In other words, we're thinking about Jesus, not about my sin, about my regrets. These may come into a legitimately good talk about the communion, but that's not where we end. We end by looking forward to what Jesus has not only has done, but the effects of what Jesus has done and where he's going to be taking us in the end. So that's some thoughts about the proclaiming his death. The third thing I would say about our focus must be that we must use a relevant scripture. The Bible is a big book, and it has tons and tons, plenty of great scriptures to use for a communion talk. We don't have to use something too obscure. A scripture about joy is excellent. A scripture about hope is excellent, but it must connect back to the cross. So please, a relevant scripture. One scripture we already talked about, but a relevant one. And then finally, in our focus, it's so important that we remind everybody why we are actually taking bread and wine. In other words, what is the connection between what you've been sharing and what we're about to now do? I'm sitting there in my chair. Someone's going to pass me a tray with some bread on it and then a tray with some wine. And I'm going to take that. But why? Why am I taking it? And I've heard, and I'm sure I've done this myself, but I've heard rather a lot of talks about the communion where the person has shared their point and then prayed and not mentioned the bread and the wine. Or if they've mentioned it, they've mentioned it in a very cursory way, and thank you God for the bread and the wine, rather than this, what's this bread going to do for me? What's this wine going to do for me? And for me, it's something along the lines of, as I take the bread, as I take the wine, I'm reminded that Jesus shed his blood, that he gave his body for me, that it was broken for me, and I'm grateful. Help me, God, to be grateful as I take this and to empower me and strengthen me for the week ahead, or something like that. So there's a connection, isn't there? There's got to be a connection between what we've said and what we're about to do. And this is particularly important for those who are visiting our services and have no idea what this is about. But I think it's also important for the members of the church that we're reminded that this is meaningful, this taking of bread and wine. Otherwise, why do it at all? Why not just have a talk about the cross? No, we're doing this together communally, taking communion, so that it helps our gratitude, I would say. It makes us more grateful for what Jesus has done, and that helps us to then live by faith and live in hope and to ultimately live a life of love as we go out of this place into the week ahead. So those are some thoughts on presentation and on focus. I'd love to know what you think. Please send me some feedback. You can leave a message. You can email me at malcolm@malcolmcox.org, or you can leave a message wherever you hear or see this recording. Feel free to disagree if you like, but just not to be disagreeable, as some friend of mine once said. There's more material about communions and talks about communions on my website, and particularly on the Tuesday Teaching Tips playlist on my YouTube channel. So go there for some more theological reflections as well as practical reflections on communion, Lord's Supper, the cross, that kind of thing. So I had three S's. I told you at the beginning I was going to give you three S's. What are those? I'll tell you what they are now. The first S is Scripture. The second S is Savior. And the third S is strength. What do I think communions are basically about? I get most refreshed when I hear someone use one scripture to refresh my gratitude for my Savior to give me strength for the days ahead. How about that as a summary of the purpose of a communion talk? Perhaps you could use that as a filter to help you prepare your next talk about the Lord's Supper. Using one scripture to refresh my gratitude for my Savior to give me strength for the days ahead. Let me know what you think of all that. Thanks very much for paying attention to this. I hope it's helpful, not only to you in your preparation, but also for your enjoyment of and engagement with what we're doing on Sundays when we take that bread and wine. Well, until the next time, I hope you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. Take care and God bless you.